ready to party. This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
Welcome to Thursday's podcast. I'm going to say it. You guys have told some great stories on this show, which have made me laugh. I've shared them. I've told people they're my own stories. But none have I enjoyed as much it's as a good. Story that Sarah tells in today's
Here's
show.
Here's the show. Take a listen.
Those two girls.
I just need that you talk.
Are
now.
We on? Why
sorry,
didn't we hear
I couldn't
anything?
Hear anything.
Can you hear things now?
Yes, I'm totally okay. I'm fine, guys.
Everything's on air, isn't it, Aaron? Like we're not. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, this is a hot mess.
Now okay. I've turned this up too loud, and I'm hearing booming voices.
Let's make a confession.
Can we pretend to start again?
They're moving the radio station, and right now things are a little bit all over the shop.
A little bit higgledy-piggledy, if you will. You know what?
Headphones up really loud because you're making
it
feedback.
Mine.
Come on, Sarah, your hearing's not that
bad.
Everyone stop. Wait, pause. I'm going to do this again. Is everyone ready?
Yes.
I was just going to say the win here is that Sarah didn't do her stupid. Woo!
No, we're starting again.
Oh. I'm ready to
don't do it.
Those two girls.
Woo! Oh, so good to have that do-over. Thank you for the reminder, Lise. Look, an awkward start to the show, but yet still a fun start, Lise. And I think the importance of going to work is making sure you enjoy the work you do.
Well, we are very lucky in that sense.
We are, but
we?
I think we found a tradie who has even more fun at work than you and me.
Yes, like he is one of us. He is the type of bloke who rocks up to work and decides to just take down his workmates. That is his MO. Take a listen to this tradie who is commentating a la David Attenborough. He's spotted two of his colleagues and he is giving a blow-by-blow of what they're actually doing or not doing. Take a listen.
Here we can see two animals taking a well-earned rest. It's early morning and they've been working non-stop for over 20 minutes. The apprentice, a tradesman in his infancy, he'll watch and learn from the on-site elders in the hope of becoming a fully fledged adult. For now, though, his main skills lie in tea making, white, and two sugars.
What I love is his other workmates behind him just sniggering the entire, like, good on you, Greg.
So
good
to one. All our tradies listening, guys, you've only got 20 minutes of work before tea break, okay? Hang in there. You're just like us.
May we just have a moment of silence for millennials.
All right, we're
going
to go off there.
Yes, because that poor generation has been blamed for the downfall of yet another industry. So let me just take you through a few things that millennials have previously been blamed for. Of course, the housing market, because they're staying at home for too long, living with their parents. The death of video stores, goodbye Blockbuster, Video Easy, et cetera, because they just want to stream it. They don't want to leave the couch, apparently. Cereal is now going the way of the dodo because they're too lazy to clean up after themselves, apparently. So they don't want to eat cereal. Actual stores, physical stores, they're all going downhill because of their online shopping habits. Okay, even golf, even the game of golf is apparently in decline because millennials want no part of it and baby boomers are going to die out. And then golf, it's gone. It's extinct.
I'm glad that golf is gone, to be honest.
Now, poor old millennials are having to foot the blame for the doorbell industry going downhill. Yes, that's right.
Talk me through that.
Well, apparently, millennials are A, too scared to answer the aggressive ring of a doorbell, and likewise, they don't want to press it. It brings anxiety. So they just text their friend, here.
Yeah.
Just one word.
I'm here.
From the car, here.
Yeah.
So nobody has to deal with that pesky ding-dong. Okay? I'm not talking about Lee's.
Oh,
I'm talking about the doorbell. So they're likening doorbells, apparently, to being similar to like a phone call from an elderly relative or a phone scam. There's just no place for
it in their
day and age, apparently.
I've got a few more things that millennials have ruined for us.
Okay.
Dinner dates.
Why?
They don't go out on dinner dates anymore. They don't do face-to-face interactions. Remember when you used to get asked out on dates? Sarah,
yes.
Cast your mind back to 1923 when people actually dated you.
Beautiful time. I can't wait for the roaring 20s to come back next year.
And men would ask you out for dinner.
Yes.
That's not the thing anymore.
No, I mean, talk about anxiety. You had to rock up and spend possibly 1 to 2 hours with a complete stranger.
Here's another thing that breaks my heart.
What?
Wine corks. Wine corks are out thanks to, or no thanks to, bloody millennials.
Why?
They don't like the corks. They prefer twist off.
Oh.
Or wine in a can, which, you know what? If you come to me with a wine in a can, I'm going to take that can and I'm going to throw it at you. Okay. I may
I've
be
had
slight,
wine. I've had wine in
but
a can.
I'm wiry. And I'm going to peg it at you.
A particular superhuman strength that belies her size.
A wine in a can is an offence to my French heritage. Oh. Do not bring it to me.
How,
do you know what else?
How did this article about millennials and doorbells turn into Lisa's French bloody
saying,
heritage? I mean, it's a real skill.
Whoever's
there has
idea
to be,
that
what
was.
Are we, Generation Y? People who bring up their cultural heritage in Generation Y. That should be.
You know
on
what
a
else?
List.
This what? Is another bugbear of mine. Handshakes. Handshakes have gone the way of the bloody dodo because they don't have the strength in their upper body. They don't shake hands the way we shake hands,
no,
Sarah.
No, that's a generalisation. It's
they don't
all
subscribe.
A generalisation. No,
I'm
it's not.
I'm done
poor
with this,
millennials.
Please.
They get blamed for so much.
I'm done with you, carry on.
Can you shake a hand?
Of course I can.
With gusto?
Of course I
or
can.
Or have you decided that you're too cool to subscribe to social mores that speak volumes about one's character?
When I met your husband, I specifically remember approaching him with a handout and thinking, this is a man that's going to have a good handshake. You're going to have to give your absolute best to this
How
moment,
did you
know? Scott. I think I succeeded. I mean, he looked at me again later, so I assume that he wasn't disappointed. But the other thing, I want to bring this right back to where Sarah started this, the old text, because I'm definitely arrive at your house and send a text kind of guy. But you know what I often think, particularly when I've just started dating someone, I used to often think, gee, the whole have to go to the door and say, good
hello,
evening.
Hello, Mr. Smith.
Good evening, Mr. Smith.
I'm Scott.
Here to pick up Sarah.
Yeah.
That's gone. We don't do that anymore.
Oh, shame.
What
absolutely.
A crying
but
shame.
Here's the thing. You can blame millennials for the death of the doorbell industry. I'm not a millennial and I don't press doorbells either. I text here if I'm rock or I just bark my horn really loud so all the neighbours know. Oh, Lisa's got a list. That's it.
I'm still stuck on the can of wine.
going back to dating, even landline, Scott, you would never have had that thing
oh
of
my God,
calling
so
the home phone and saying, hello there, may I speak to Matthew, please? It's Sarah. Like, you would never have had to deal with that.
That was anxiety
We're inducing. certainly a resilient generation.
I mean, remember that?
Yes.
Your heart would race a million miles an hour. Would they answer or would their father answer?
Yes.
I don't remember.
Those two girls.
You like potato, and I like potato. You like tomato, and I like tomato.
Potato,
potato, potato, tomato, tomato. Oh, let's call the whole thing off.
I need you to stick up with me when that opener fires, Lise.
Sorry.
All right, two types of people in the world for any given situation or opinion. It's certainly the big issues.
What do we have today, Sarah?
Well, I want to talk about your penchant for soft tacos. They're not even a taco.
They are.
That's a burrito. A taco is hard, well and truly. So today we're talking hard versus soft tacos.
Okay, so are we going to get people to call in on 131060? Are you Team Sarah, hard tacos
Absolutely.
For the win, or Team Lee's? A lovely burrito skin, flexible in nature, soft in texture.
¿Por qué no los dos?
Yeah.
Why doesn't a hard taco appeal to you? It's like eating a giant corn chip and you get that delicious crunch.
You know
and
what?
And there's a texture and it's a sensation.
There's only one time I can tolerate being stabbed in the roof of my mouth. okay? I will not have that happen to me ever again. That is very painful.
But do you have soft palate issues? Is that why you have to choose a soft burrito, essentially?
I just love plopping all my ingredients
plopping,
in the middle.
That's right. It's a bleh.
Yeah, I love putting them in the, and then wrap. You know what it is? It harks back to my love of swaddling babies.
Oh my God.
And I put the mix in the middle and my swaddling skills come back.
You wrap it like a newborn.
And I wrap it like a newborn baby.
And then you put it in
your
mouth.
And then I eat it.
I'm not comfortable with that, which again is why a hard taco is an excellent choice.
The hard taco does nothing. You take one bite, everything spills out the side and out the back.
But that's the exciting thing. It's a risk. You are taking a risk. Where's my mince going to end up? On the plate?
On your
lap? My mouth? Who knows? That's the adventure. Tacos are choose your own adventure.
Wow.
Okay? Aren't they? Scott, where do you sit on this?
I'm hard taco through and through.
Why?
Thank you,
because I think there's a burrito and there's a taco and the filling of both are extremely different.
No, they are not. We're talking the same fillings.
Oh, Scott just rolled his eyes at you. He never rolls his eyes.
A taco is a big, a burrito is one is a big full meal filled with lots of beans and rice. And taco is more snacks.
But my soft taco nights, my burrito nights, I have all the trimmings there. So I'll tell you what I have.
You're a taco filling in a burrito wrap.
Absolutely. I have my avo.
Well, that's incorrect.
I have my mince or my diced chicken. I have the sour cream.
That's
supposed to go into
lettuce.
A hard taco.
Yeah,
no, we get what the ingredients are. That's
13,
standard. That's 13, the taco
10,
ingredient.
60. The phones are a bit full at the moment because everybody wants to tell Lee she's wrong.
I'm not wrong.
Or soft tacos, if you need to call back. Oh, no, my line's free now. 13, 10, 60.
I'm going to start off by saying it's soft all the way for me because historically in North America, the Aztecs used soft corn tortillas as vessels for their filling. So historically, it is correct to eat a soft taco. It's also the most delicious.
Wow.
You're not living life on the edge, the sharp edge, literally. That's what hard tacos offer you. It doesn't even feel like a dinner. It feels like a treat.
It also feels like a soft palate injury.
It does, but it's exciting.
Well, let's listen to what Paul has to say. Paul on 13 10 60. Are you Team Sarah hard taco or Team Lee's soft taco?
Well, unfortunately, and fortunately for you girls, you are both incorrect. But on the same toe, you are both correct. What I like to do, right, get my soft taco, spread my sour cream and guac over it, and then put my hard taco on the inside of that. So you get your soft on the outside, you get your hard in the middle, you still get your corn flavour, and then when your taco breaks, instead of it all just going over your plate and you're having to get a knife and fork, it holds it all in there.
Paul, how big is your soft taco? Like, is it like the size of a fitted sheet? Because the hell does it fit a hard taco in there?
Easily, you can get a 4 to 8 inch soft taco tortilla. You can get a range of sizes at Coles and Woolies.
Okay.
And just fits around it.
Paul is a genius.
Paul.
You know, you've seen that Mexican ad. Why don't we have both?
Paul, I was going to say, are you this little girl?
I think we've cracked it.
Oh, Paul.
Oh, well, goodness.
It's
disappointing. I know it is. Okay.
Because Jessica and Valerie called through too.
Jess on 13 10 60. Are you a soft taco lady or a hard one?
Hello, Jess.
Jess is actually off to Woolies buying soft ones to wrap the hard taco in. Where do you stand on this debate, Jess?
I do soft tacos.
Thank you, Jess. Yeah, talk me through what don't you like about a hard taco?
I just don't like it personally.
Is that a good enough answer?
Yes, it is, Sarah.
it
hurts, doesn't it, Jess?
It actually hurts the roof of your mouth.
Yeah.
You guys are all literally soft.
No.
I have never, ever, ever had a soft palate injury from eating a hard taco. You've got to toughen up. You get some resilience about you.
I agree
Crunch
with Jess.
In.
It hurts like
and
hell.
And mouth injuries heal so quickly anyway. Valerie on 13 10 60. Hard taco, help me out here, or soft?
Look, I think 100% definitely soft taco.
Yes!
Ah!
Thank you, Valerie.
But that's a burrito.
Yeah, it is.
I think that if you're going to have a hard taco, as soon as you bite into it, it's going to fall apart anyway. You may as well just have nachos.
Yes.
It's a totally different meal.
But that's
altogether.
Why it's great, because it's like a 2-for-1. Then at the end of the meal, you do have sort of semi-nachos and then filling on your plate. I mean, I think it's a party. I think a hard taco is a party in your mouth.
Sarah, 86% of calls are softies. No, producer Aaron, we're not softies. 86% of callers are like me, team soft.
I mean, I'm outraged. I'm outraged.
Also, guys.
Old Town Road, those two girls. No more talking, Liz.
Yesterday was State of Origin Day at my daughter's school, where they encouraged kids to come wearing a colour, a maroon or blue, obviously representative of the team that they follow. Now, of course, maroon's not really a colour that I have on hand for my two girls. So I said, look, we've actually got nothing. None of my maroon things will fit you. Just wear a blue scarf. I gave a blue scarf to my little girl who's 5 and a blue jumper to my eldest who's 8 and sent them off to school.
Is that their school colours or something?
No, that's the blue colour, the New South Wales colour.
Why
colours.
Would you make them wear blue if they're Queensland supporters?
Because I didn't have any maroon. Were you listening?
But why wouldn't you just let them wear their just school uniform as it is?
Well, because then they would have been left out by not wearing colours at all.
Right. This is not going to go.
I can't believe you would do that.
Okay,
honestly, it would have been less controversial if you sent them to school.
I knew there was an issue when my 5-year-old came to the pickup line with a face like thunder, and she was like, "Mum, why did you make me wear blue? Everyone's wearing that other colour." And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. You'll be right. You'll be over it." Anyway, fast track 4 hours later that day, I was lying in the tub having a bath, and the door slid open, and my 5-year-old came in after she'd had her bath, and her eyes welled with tears, and she said, "Mum, I told a lie at school today." And I said, "Oh, dear. Doesn't feel good when you lie, does it?" She said, "No, it really doesn't." And I said, "Tell me about it. Walk me through it." And she said, "Well, Lucy and Macy came up to me and said, 'Why are you wearing that colour?'" And she said, "I didn't know what to say." I said, "So you didn't say that Mum just didn't have any maroon for you to wear?" She said, "No, I said to them, I was born in New South Wales, but there was a terrible war there."
Hold on. She was not born in New South Wales,
she
was
she? Not
okay.
born
so
in
then
New
she's
South
born
Wales.
In New South Wales no. all of a sudden. Now there's a terrible there's war a there. Keep
there
going.
There was a terrible war there and really bad things happened. So we had to leave Australia and we left all our clothes behind. So there was no maroon when I came back to school." It was very hard for me not to burst out laughing, but she was so upset. But never again, never again will I force my child to just wear another team's colour. But how creative is that little lie?
That's amazing.
Obviously, she was very, I said, "You could tell them the truth tomorrow." She's like, "No, I feel too embarrassed. They just have to show." So obviously, her little friends Lucy and Macy have probably gone home to their parents and be like, "You'll never believe what's happened in New South Wales. There was a terrible war there."
No, they've just gone, that girl is a child of war. She is a refugee.
I mean, points for creativity, all of which are taken away for lying. I think she's learned her lesson and I've learned mine.
That is so good.
poor child.
If you are listening to the show in New South Wales, I do hope that you enjoyed the game last night, because we sure did.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
The Great War of NSW.
I was like, and you know, like she really committed to it, obviously, as well, and just went into detail.
It's like she's so, Anne Frank.
Yes. I said to them, your grandfather supported New South Wales, so you can just say you were doing it for your grandfather.
But Sarah, I don't understand your logic there. Like, that's like forcing her to wear the enemy's colour.
Yeah,
like,
but they don't
just
know
go
that.
Neutral? But I they thought, do know
but
that.
But I thought they would be more worried about not participating
but
in
it's
the
worse.
Day. I mean, I don't know. I don't really care about football.
Like, you could have just dressed them
and
in...
And blue's a much nicer colour.
You can't.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Fundamentally
you know what?
Wrong.
You know what? It's something we dance around all the time, talked about many times before.
If it wasn't State of Origin Day at your boys' school either, I would have said to you, "Have you got any little boy maroon things I could put on?" And that probably would have been terrible as well, because then they'd be wearing boy clothes.
Let's
can't do anything right.
Let's deal with the issue here. Liz is married to a State of Origin football player, and you think it's completely acceptable to send your kids in enemy colours. Like,
happening in this room right now?
Well, we're not really a huge Origin family. I didn't think it would turn into the debacle that it did.
Husband.
Yeah, but even he doesn't watch it these days.
That's a very good point.
He's bored shitless with it as I am.
You know what that is? You know what that 100% is?
Can I say that? Is that all right?
Yeah, I don't think he's bored shitless with it.
You know what that 100% is? That's like when your mate plays PlayStation and you don't sit and watch because it's not as fun if you're not playing it. So he's literally walked off the field after his last Origin game. He's like, oh, I don't want to watch this. It's a lot of fun being part of it.
Mum and Dad have become avid rugby league watchers in their retirement together, right? You know how Mum chooses her favourite team?
Yeah.
The team with the least number of collective tattoos.
I mean, that's hard. There is no team there.
Very hard.
There is no team.
She talks, correct me if I'm wrong, she talks about NRL now like how she'd talk about any other news story.
Yeah.
Like, very invested.
Yeah, they're very invested. They get their chips and their chocolate and they sit on the couch every Sunday afternoon and whatever the midweek game is. No hard tacos. No. No.
All right, bye.
All right, Aaron's celebrating something. He's throwing.
Oh,
his
we got to do a. We got to do a thing. Okay, bye.
Ominous. Bye.
Tickety boo. Off she goes home. That's it for today's Those Two Girls catch up. But you can score even more catch ups just like this one. Download the Hit app and keep up with the girls on Facebook and Instagram.